Hello and welcome to Synopsis, your weekly roundup of news and analysis from OMFIF around the world. Coming to you from OMFIF headquarters here in the City of London, I'm Julian Fraser. Today we're discussing the European Central Bank, trouble in US repo markets, and the potential for a digital special drawing right. All that and more besides coming up next. And welcome to this week's edition of Synopsis. Mark Sobel, OMFIF's US chairman, and until April 2018, the representative of the US on the IMF's executive board, wrote this week about how Mario Draghi, the departing European Central Bank president, has done his successor Christine Lagarde a good turn. Draghi's contested September easing measures allow Lagarde to enter Frankfurt on the 1st of November with clean hands and give her time to forge her own path through a strategic review of monetary policy. The euro area faces an acute problem of persistently low growth, low inflation, and low or negative interest rates. Monetary policy is less effective at the zero lower bound and is reaching a state of exhaustion. As Draghi has said, the entire ECB agrees euro area fiscal policy needs to be deployed more forcefully to unburden monetary policy, but there is a split between ECB hawks and doves. Lagarde will speak to the hawks. She may have a better rapport with European and German leaders than Draghi, and be in a stronger position to discuss the limitations of monetary policy acting alone, and thus in promoting some macro rebalancing. Politicians and central bankers who decry zero or negative rates and run fiscally orthodox policies show a nationalist mindset. They should remember that, whether they like it or not, their leaders agreed to make them part of a union. Monetary policy has to be formulated for the union as a whole, not for any individual economy, and fiscal policy must support the union. Another possible challenge to the ECB in the coming years may be its jealously guarded independence. The golden age of central bank independence is under attack, as politicians would much rather find a scapegoat than look themselves in the mirror. Based on her IMF record, Lagarde will tenaciously protect ECB independence, and view doing so, along with preserving a strong staff, as a critical piece of her job. Daniel Tenengauser and John Vellis of BNY Mellon published on the OMFIF website this week an article addressing the mid-September squeeze in the US overnight funding market. As they wrote, essentially at a certain point on Monday the 16th of September, somebody wanted to acquire $1 more than the market could supply, pushing up the borrowing rate in the overnight repo market to its highest level since 2009. Whether it was a corporation seeking to obtain dollars to pay quarterly taxes due, the government needing to meet its payroll, or an investor financing an IPO outside the US, it was $1 too many. Explanations for the lack of liquidity range from quarter-end funding needs and post-financial crisis regulation of bank reserves to a surge in government borrowing needs. Eventually, the New York Fed undertook a series of daily interventions in this market, essentially offering sufficient cash to restore rates to manageable levels. Repo markets are symptomatic of a larger trend. One important consequence of bank disintermediation following the 2008 financial crisis is dwindling liquidity in markets otherwise presumed to be operating smoothly. This is not an imminent systemic risk because the Fed is easing policy. Nevertheless, onlookers should be on guard for potential disruptions as the global economy slows. Cross-border payments are growing rapidly, propelled by services trade, demand from foreign investment flows, and workers' remittances, but remain costly, slow, and opaque. Businesses and individuals are looking for faster, more convenient, transparent, and inexpensive cross-border payment methods. While there have been innovations, they are often limited to the front-end user experience. There is a burgeoning need for technologies to improve back-end processes, lower compliance costs, and transform payment means. Models involve bilateral connection between domestic e-money services, extending an e-money system to multiple countries, and creating a peer-to-peer payment network accessible in multiple countries. As e-currencies Bajoy Dasgupta and Miles Young contend, one way to facilitate cross-border payments would be the use of a digital composite asset of stable value based on the special drawing right, the IMF's composite currency unit. Central banks can make use of this ESDR by issuing what would in effect be a universal central bank digital currency for cross-border transactions. As the value of the digital token would be determined by the IMF's SDR currency composition and weights, it would be a stable instrument with no additional volatility, trading or investment activity, nor danger of manipulation. An ESDR-based payment network would enable financial service providers to offer efficient, transparent, and inexpensive cross-border payment services, even for low-value and high-volume use cases. In its ideal form, the ESDR will greatly benefit both private sector financial businesses and the authorities that supervise them. Aside from the aforementioned articles, we also published this week our latest quarterly bulletin. This edition of OnFIF's flagship magazine focuses on cybersecurity in the financial system and the steps that public policymakers must take to combat cyber threats. We are especially pleased to feature contributors from institutions at the forefront of the discourse on cyber readiness, including the European Central Bank and the Monetary Authority of Singapore, supplemented as ever by our own excellent in-house analysis. On the podcasting front, earlier this week we released the latest installment in our Fed Talk series. Don Cohn, member of the Bank of England's Financial Policy Committee and member of the Fed Board of Governors between 2002 and 2010, and Bill Papadakis, macro strategist at Bank Lombard-Odier, spoke with Mark Sobel about the Federal Reserve's decision to cut the Fed funds rate by 25 basis points. You can listen to their conversation on the OnFIF website or wherever you get your podcasts. Looking ahead to the coming week's main events, five central banks will be convening to discuss their country's monetary policy direction, including those of Israel, Uganda, Serbia, Peru, and Sri Lanka. Meanwhile, here at OnFIF, on Thursday the 10th of October in London, we will be playing host to Neil Gregory, the IFC's Chief Thought Leadership Officer. He will be discussing the development of impact investing and the related framework that the IFC published in April of this year, which was signed by 60 global investors. More details about that roundtable can be found on the OnFIF website, and links to the relevant web pages regarding everything mentioned in this recording are also included in the description of this podcast. And that, sadly, is all for this week's edition of the OnFIF Synopsis. To read in greater detail about what we've discussed, visit www.onfif.org, and if you'd like to receive our editorial output and details about forthcoming meetings, sign up at onfif.org/subscribe. I'm Julian Fraser. Thank you for listening.